Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. I trust that you all had a great weekend. It was beautiful, folks. The sun was out, the birds were chirping, the grass was green. It was a good time. I know I had a good time. I tell you that, folks. But I tell you what, a lot happened in the world of sports, and we are going to try and recap most of it throughout this hour here on WKAR AM 870. On today's show, we will talk about a pretty big win for the Lansing United minor league soccer team as they took on Detroit City FC this weekend. We will chat with the head coach of that very squad, Mr. Nate Miller. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about a legend in the NBA who has decided to walk away from the game and call it a career, and what a career it was. We'll tell you who that individual is. Also, breaking news concerning a pretty big name in the world of Michigan State men's basketball. He's now in the NBA now and has won an NBA championship. He played in the NBA Finals this past year for back-to-back years. Yeah, Draymond Green is in some hot water. We'll bring that news to you. Also, the Detroit Tigers lose 3 of 4 heading into the All-Star break. We'll recap what took place this past weekend as the Tigers took on the Tampa Bay Rays. And we'll have weekend winners for you and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, in some local soccer action, Lansing United of the National Premier Soccer League, the NPSL, knocked out rival Detroit City FC at DeMartin Stadium in East Lansing yesterday by a score of 3-1. James DeCosmo scored twice for Lansing. The win was important as United, Detroit City FC, and the Michigan Stars are all tied for third place in the Great Lakes Western Conference, with only one regular season game remaining, according to Detroit City FC's website. However, yesterday's loss to United eliminated them from playoff contention. United, although a young club in its just third full season, has already found a rival in Detroit City FC. We will invite head coach of Lansing United, Nate Miller, to the show later this hour, and we will kick around playoff scenarios for Miller's team. You don't want to miss that chat. Golden State Warriors forward and former Michigan State hoop star Draymond Green, who was also a member of this summer's United States Olympic men's basketball team, he was arrested for assault on Sunday in East Lansing. Now, this is according to MLive sources. Now, the details of Green's arrest are unknown at this time. Said Lieutenant Scott Riegelsworth, East Lansing Police Department public information officer, quote, "The police department is not confirming any arrest with that name, the name of Draymond Green. Quote, what I can confirm is that we did arrest a current NBA basketball player this weekend and he was arrested for assault. That's all we are confirming right now," end quote. All right, moving on. According to reports from the Vertical Memphis Grizzlies rookie and former Michigan State Spartan, Deontay Davis has agreed to a 3-year, $4 million deal, which makes it the richest guaranteed salary for an American-born second-round pick. How about that news? Now, despite dropping to the 31st overall pick in the draft after being projected much higher, actually a top 20 pick in the weeks leading up to the real deal, Davis's deal exceeds the guaranteed slotted salary of the 16th pick in the draft. With the exponential rise in the NBA salary cap, more second-round rookies have sought ways to enter the free agency market as swiftly as possible. His 3-year deal allows him to reach free agency entering his fourth season. And speaking of the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA, one of the all-time greats, has decided to retire after 19 years of work. The San Antonio Spurs released a statement this morning, according to many sources, that Tim Duncan has decided to retire, spending his entire career with the Spurs. Duncan won 5 NBA championships in his 19 seasons and was named MVP in 01, 02, and 2002 to 2003, and was the Finals MVP in 1999, 2003, and 2005. He averaged 19 points, 10 boards, 3 assists, 2.2 blocks, and shot 50.6% from the field over the course of his career. Former Detroit Titans men's basketball head coach Ray McCollum was named an associate coach at Georgia State this weekend per a release on the school's website. McCollum coached the Titans for 8 seasons from 2008 to 2016, winning the Horizon League Championship and making the NCAA tournament, if you remember, back in 2012. He was fired by the Titans back in April. The Detroit Tigers dropped a game yesterday to the Toronto Blue Jays by a final score of 6-1. Josh Donaldson hit a 3-run homer for the Blue Jays, and R.A. Dickey won back-to-back starts for the first time in a month in the team's final game before the All-Star break. Now, Anibal Sanchez lost his second straight start, allowing 5 runs and 8 hits in 4 innings. He has lost 7 straight decisions as a starter, including 5 in a row on the road. Following the All-Star break, Justin Verlander starts the opener of a 3-game home series against the Kansas City Royals. JV has won once in his past 4 starts. In some NASCAR news, get this. Michigan native Brad Keselowski won the Quaker State 400 at the Kentucky Speedway. Now, after a crash near the end of the race, Keselowski took the lead on the final restart, then stretched his fuel to the absolute limit while his strongest competition all had to stop and top off. Now, he had just enough Sunoco E15 left in the tank for enough of a burst of speed to keep him ahead of Edwards' Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota for the rest of the lap. Now, he crossed the line 0.175 seconds ahead for his series-leading 4th race win of the year and 2nd in the past 7 days. Again, 0.75 seconds ahead to take the win. That's pretty impressive stuff. All right, it was first reported this morning that UFC had been sold for a record-breaking $4 billion. UFC was acquired by talent agency WME-IMG. Quote, "We've been fortunate over the years to represent UFC and a number of its remarkable athletes." This is coming from WME-IMG co-CEOs Ari Emanuel and Patrick Whitesell. They released this statement saying, quote, "It's been exciting to watch the organization's incredible growth over the last decade under the leadership of Ferretieta brothers, Dana White, and their dedicated team. We are now committed to pursuing new opportunities for UFC and its talented athletes to ensure the sport's continued growth and success on a global scale," end quote. Now, at $4 billion, it stands to be the most expensive transaction for an organization in sports history. And last but certainly not least, Portugal stunned France 1-0 in extra time to win the European Championship yesterday. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
Such a dramatic decline in the numbers, his minutes down as well, as Duncan floats it up and in. He's actually played well tonight when he's been on the floor. He's 4 of 8, 10 points.
So hobbled.
Duncan. Duncan with some good minutes here. Now 12 points for Duncan. And the Spurs have cut it to 19. There's still Almost 8 minutes remaining. Duncan banks it in, and it's a 17-point game, and Billy Donovan calls timeout. Miller inside. Duncan finishes on a beautiful feed, and it's a 13-point game.
Who knew that that would be the last time we would see Tim Duncan on the NBA hardwood? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I trust that you had a beautiful weekend. We are back in the saddle here on the campus of Michigan State University inside of the College of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. Glad to be back at it, folks. Happy, happy Monday. So before I go on about my just love affair with the game of Tim Duncan, again, I want to put it out there that breaking news occurred this morning concerning former Michigan State hoop great, who is now, of course, a member with the NBA's Golden State Warriors, Mr. Draymond Green. Now, according to MLive sources, Draymond Green was arrested for assault yesterday in East Lansing. Again, Lieutenant Scott Riegelsworth of the East Lansing Police Department, public information, announced a statement, quote, "The police department is not confirming any arrest with that name. What I can confirm is that we did arrest a current NBA basketball player this weekend, and he was arrested for assault. That's all we are confirming right now," end quote. So that's all we know right now, folks. So it's really hard for me to come on the air today and belt out an opinion of Draymond Green getting arrested. Again, the lieutenant is not even confirming the name as of yet. But right now, MLive is saying, per its sources, that Draymond Green was indeed involved in some sort of incident over the weekend and was arrested for assault. I'm really hoping that isn't the case. But again, MLive sources are pretty solid. So we'll see what comes of that story as we know more in the coming hours and days. Tim Duncan, though, folks, in my opinion, one of the greatest winners in NBA history. And it's very hard to argue with that. When you look at his resume, it speaks for itself. Tim Duncan Tim Duncan announced his retirement in only the fashion that Tim Duncan could. Tim Duncan was not a flashy player. He put ego aside in order to exchange that for wins. So it was fitting that Tim Duncan decided to just announce it right now, during the NBA's offseason, not before the season began. And he didn't want a swan song. He didn't want attention. That's not how Tim Duncan rolls. He decided to just in the offseason announce that he would be walking away from the game after 19 stellar, and I do mean stellar, seasons, folks. And, you know, it's been pretty cool watching the tributes across the national sporting landscape. It's been very cool to hear some of the candid Tim Duncan stories from players that, again, shared the court with him or players that competed against him. And when you look at the stats, I mean, it's just really mind-boggling. The stat that stands out the most to me, of course, I said that you just mentioned that Tim Duncan is one of the greatest winners of all time. He finishes his career with a .710 win percentage. Folks, that isn't just the best win percentage in the NBA since 1997, but it's the best win percentage since that year in all of major league sports. That's crazy, right? He wins 71% of his games dating back to when he first entered the league. That's nuts. That's nuts, folks. And he is, of course, the only NBA player to win an NBA title in not one, not two, but three decades. I don't think we'll ever see that again. Talk about longevity, right? And I think it's pretty clear that when you stack up Tim Duncan's resume against the other stout resumes of some of the best power forwards to ever play this game, I really don't think that it's even an argument. Tim Duncan goes down as the greatest power forward of all time. Not even a debate, folks. I mean, just to bring up a few names here, as I was compiling my list this morning of some of the greatest PFs to ever do it, Karl Malone certainly comes to mind. You can make an argument that Karl Malone is probably number two, even though he didn't win a ring, did not win a ring, zero championships. He still was a two-time MVP in an era where of course, Michael Jeffrey Jordan just dominated. Two-time MVP, 14-time All-Star, the only player, and I find this quite interesting, the only player to be named first-team All-NBA in 11 straight years. Longevity, folks. And that's what makes really a Hall of Famer a Hall of Famer to me. You have to have longevity. You can't just be great for, boom, just a brief moment. You know what I mean? Like two seasons. You have to sustain that throughout the course of your career. And that's something certainly that Karl Malone did. Also, the other name I bring up, Dirk Nowitzki. His resume speaks for itself. One NBA title, one MVP. He's a 13-time All-Star and, without a doubt, the best European player to ever play this game. Dirk Nowitzki, his name also needs to be in that conversation when you have the debate of the greatest power forwards of all time. Sir Charles. Charles Barkley also makes the list, of course. Even though Charles did not win a ring, he was a one-time MVP, an 11-time NBA All-Star, and I think this is a general consensus as well, the greatest undersized big man ever, standing at 6'6". Impressive stuff, right? I mean, that was the height of Michael Jordan, folks, and we had Sir Charles, that 6'6" is the size of like a shooting guard. And you had Sir Charles just, you know, banging down low throughout the majority of his NBA career. And you can make an argument that he was arguably the greatest coast-to-coast player as well when it came to defense and just going the full length of the floor. Fantastic. KG, Kevin Garnett also makes the list. One NBA title. 15-time All-Star. He was also a DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year. And, what I love about Kevin Garnett, at one point, Kevin Garnett, and not a lot of players can say this in the NBA, that at one time, at one point in their careers, you could have made the argument that they were the best player on the planet. You could make that argument with Kevin Garnett. You certainly could. I mean, there was one point where Kevin Garnett was just completely just throwing up numbers that we have never seen before. It was unbelievable. Had a great NBA career. He was a competitor, and he really ushered in that modern era of players who made that jump from high school to the pros immediately. Salute to KG. But when you talk about Tim Duncan, Timmy, the big fundamental, two-time MVP, 15-time All-Star, he was also a Rookie of the Year, 5 NBA championships. And I think that's what really separates Tim Duncan from the rest of the pack, because he was a winner, folks. He won. Again, this is a man who won 71% of the time when he was on an NBA court. That's crazy. You can't make that argument when having a discussion of a Malone or a Nowitzki or a Barkley or a Garnett or some of the other great power forwards who have played the game, all right? You just can't. I'm sorry. You just can't. Or even a Kevin McHale, Bob Pettit. We can go on and on here. Paul Gasol. I mean, you just can't have that argument because nobody won at that position like Tim Duncan. 5 rings, folks. It was also a 15-time all-defensive honoree. And as I mentioned in the headliners, again, this is a man who finished his career shooting above 50% from the field. So he spent 19 seasons with one team. That's something that you don't see anymore. I mean, we had the discussion last week on the show about the whole move with Kevin Durant deciding to join up and build this powerhouse super team with the Golden State Warriors. Loyalty is something that just does not exist anymore in today's pro basketball realm. Just don't see it. 19 seasons with the Spurs, only Kobe Bean Bryant had a longer tenure with one team. And I have to throw this out there, folks. I just don't think that we will ever see another player like Tim Duncan, because when I reflected on his career upon reading the announcement that he would be leaving the game of basketball, I thought about Tim Duncan and the way he carried himself throughout his career. This was a guy who had no ego. This was a guy who did not want attention. The only attention Tim Duncan wanted was from winning. That's it. If he didn't win, it was a problem. He didn't care about commercials. He didn't care about shoe contracts. Heck, he even took a pay cut during the tail end of his NBA career because he knew that taking a pay cut would allow the organization to bring in young, good talent that could help the Spurs win and could help that team continue to compete for NBA championships for a long time. Tim Duncan said, you know what? Hey, that's fine. That's cool. I'll take a pay cut, bring in some young studs to help us out. I want to win. Simple as that. And throughout Tim Duncan's career, 19 seasons, at least 50 wins each year. That's crazy. So this is a guy who was a winner. This was a guy who was ideally brandless. And what I mean by that is this is a guy who didn't have – did Tim Duncan ever have a shoe? You know, this
not
is
that
guy,
I can think of.
I can't think of anybody saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to Foot Locker to cop the new Tim Duncan's. Like, no, he didn't – this is a guy who didn't even have a shoe contract, folks, in an era where everybody had a contract with Nike or Adidas. I mean, that was big stuff. That was big stuff when Tim Duncan was on the scene. Yet here we had an MVP who didn't care about that. Just did not care whatsoever. You didn't see Tim Duncan in commercials. I can't even name one commercial that Tim Duncan was in. I can't even name an endorsement that he was in, folks. Nothing stands out when I think about that. So this was a guy, this was a superstar in the NBA who had no brand. No brand. You know what the brand of Tim Duncan was? It was winning. It was going out there and just getting wins and winning championships. That's what Tim Duncan was all about, folks. And you just normally, you don't see that. You don't see that in today's game. And I doubt that in an era where ego is to the 20th degree, to the 20th power in today's league, I doubt we will ever see a superstar like that ever again. Simple as that. And he was smart, too. You know, some of the words that come to mind when you think about Tim Duncan's career and Tim Duncan just period, you know, smart, so smart, ridiculously smart. And I think that's what made Tim Duncan such a great athlete, such a great player. I mean, the way he understood how to play the game and how unselfish he was. I mean, just smart, just a smart dude. Ageless is another word that comes to mind. Again, 19 seasons, and throughout the majority of his NBA career, he was pretty effective. Pretty effective, folks. Other word that comes to mind is composed. You never saw Tim Duncan really losing on the court. There was a couple times. You know, just in the heat of battle, it happens. That's just the game. That's the nature of athletics. But you never saw Tim Duncan just completely just lose his mind, just lose it emotionally on a basketball court. He was always composed. And he knew, and a quote stood out to me when I was looking at one of his highlight montages. Tim Duncan, he talked about how he always tried to keep his emotions in check on the basketball court because he believed that if he didn't keep those emotions in check, it would take away from winning. It would take away from the game. So he always tried to stay composed. And this is a guy who spent 4 years in college, folks. 4 years in college, you know, and he even co-authored a chapter in the psychology book that's entitled Adversive Interpersonal Behaviors. I mean, this is a dude who went to college, got his degree, in psychology and went on to co-author a chapter in a renowned book centered on the subject of psychology. I mean, just a smart guy, And he was never in any trouble off the basketball court. You never saw him in any riffs or in the news. He wasn't behind bars. I mean, this was a dude who understood how to play the right way and how to carry the legacy of a brand like the NBA in a realm that exuded classy. And you would not see that again from an, I don't think any other NBA superstar. And I love the relationship that Tim Duncan had with Mr. Greg Popovich, who was one of the greatest basketball minds ever. And I even doubt that we will see, because again, it goes back to that loyalty argument with me. I just don't think athletes are loyal in today's NBA because of a lot of factors. You know, money, big time money being thrown around in the game now. Free agent contracts. We're seeing these crazy contracts being given left and right. So if a guy is staying in a certain situation where, oh man, I could go and get more money there, guys are going to jump ship and do that. Times are changing. 2016's league is certainly a different league than back in the day. So loyalty takes a back seat to the paper. And I get that. From a business standpoint, I totally get that. So I don't think that you will ever see a superstar staying in one with one team throughout the duration of that individual's career, let alone cultivating a relationship with that squad's head coach like we saw with Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan. When Duncan was on the court, he was an extension of Greg Popovich. He was the coach on the floor. And, you know, Tim Duncan is let it be known throughout his NBA career how big of a factor Greg Pop was in his life. And he talked about how Pop is a father figure to him. And I'm curious. I know there's going to be a press conference tomorrow on Tuesday. And I'm curious to you know, we never see Greg Popovich really show emotion. He's so just stern in his interviews during the games and after the games. He doesn't like the media that much. But I'm curious to you know, as to whether or not Greg Popovich will shed a tear tomorrow. 19 years with one guy. 19 years with one guy who transcended the way the game was played at that position. That's going to be pretty special to see. And pretty eerie to see yet another one of my childhood heroes in the game of basketball retiring. Crazy, crazy stuff, folks. Crazy stuff. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, we will be chatting with the head coach of the Lansing United Minor League Soccer Team, Mr. Nate Miller. Before we do that and hit our first break, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, who I actually ran into on Friday night at Common Ground right before the ASAP Rocky concert. And I must say, Isaac Constance is who I'm inviting now. And I must say, Isaac, ASAP just was fantastic. He was fantastic that night, I must say. I've seen, you know, I'm a big hip-hop head. I've seen many concerts. ASAP's was pretty impressive, I must say. I enjoyed that.
I warned you. And you did. I liked ASAP. I had seen him in the past. The thing about ASAP is he brings so much energy and life to it, even if you don't like his music.
Right.
He gets up on stage, has fun, and makes sure that you're having fun as well. And speaking of having fun, Tim Duncan, the one commercial I remember him in mm-hmm. is the Foot Locker commercial.
Okay.
Where it basically he's talking to all of these guys and they're like talking about some new shoe or something like that at Foot Locker. And they're Derrick Rose is like, hey, Tim, did you hear about the new shoe that they've got at Adidas or at Foot Locker? And Tim's like, no, I didn't. What is it? Derrick Rose says, oh, you've got to check it out. It's so cool, whatever. And Tim's like, wait, I'm looking it up now. Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting. I just knocked over a plant. And Derrick Rose tells some kids, like, Derrick Rose says something along the lines of, he's never been this happy before in his life.
Because, you know, that just goes to really put in perspective just Tim's personality. He's never shown
Tim
any emotion.
Stoic. He
right.
is. And
stoic, right.
Whether win or loss, you might see him crack a smile. By no means was he some depressing figure. But the guy was professional at the end of the day. That's the way to put it. He was professional. And the way I describe the longevity of Tim Duncan's career is Tim Duncan played 19 seasons in the NBA. In 18, all except for this final year, per 36 minutes, he always averaged over 17 points a game.
Crazy, right?
That is ridiculous. A career average of 19 points per game. He started off winning a championship his second year in the NBA, a feat that David Robinson by himself, somebody who scored 71 points in a game and is in a conversation for some of the greatest centers of all time, David Robinson couldn't even do it without the help of Tim Duncan.
Right. Then they were the Twin Towers. How cool was that to watch that Twin Tower era between Tim Duncan and David Robinson during that time? Oh, that's when I really started to fall in love with the game of basketball. I remember before NBA 2K was out and has really now just taken the reins of the basketball, the best basketball video game out there, NBA Live was numero uno. And I remember my dad took me to Best Buy and we bought NBA Live 99 and Tim Duncan was on the cover of it. And I just remember that because that just stands out. You know, like Tim Duncan was at the height of his, well, he really started to really start to become very popular in the league during that time.
Well, and small ball is beautiful, but I'll never forget, and I can never stop appreciating the beauty of simple fundamentals. And nobody did that better than the big fundamental. He'd lull you to sleep sometimes with a simple style, but the fact is, he practiced that hook shot and that turnaround so meticulously. He always knew where the defense was. He always knew how to get it on point. The bank shot was his go-to. Tim Duncan will never be replaced in the NBA. And I don't think the conversation is, was he the greatest power forward of all time? I think that's answered. I think five rings, when you compare that to Karl Malone, zero.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett, one. Charles Barkley, zero.
No one comes close.
And even my guy Dirk, one.
Yep.
Nobody comes close. Tim Duncan, two MVPs as well. 15 all-defensive team awards. And, you know, he's one of the best five defenders ever. I think the conversation is, where's this guy in the top 10 of all time? Because for me,
oh yeah, he makes
it eight
top
or
ten.
Seven. He's above Kobe for me.
I think you have to put him above Kobe Bryant. To be honest with you, when you look at the numbers and the impact and the efficiency and the win percentage, I mean, I think that's a given. Now there will be a lot of Kobe lovers out there that would totally disagree with that because they're in awe of the way that Kobe played the game, and they'll bring up the constant, you know, scoring titles and 81 points. But at the end of the day, this game in sports is about winning, and Tim Duncan is among some of the greatest winners of all time. I may have to put him right next to Bill Russell. He was that good. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Nate Miller, who is the head coach of the Lansing United soccer team. United got a pretty big win over Detroit City FC over the weekend that keeps them in playoff contention. We'll chat with Nate in just a second. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, happy Monday. It is July 11, 2016, and we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. Again, folks, you can call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR. You can also join us via Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, and checking out our Facebook page right now, we do have a question coming from Benjamin, and he wants to know, what do you make of this whole issue of Draymond Green getting arrested for assault yesterday? Well, thank you, Benjamin, for listening and being a part of today's show via facebook.com/currentsports. And I must say, Benjamin, I don't know the details of what took place, so I'm not going to sit up here and make some hot take about Draymond Green and how he's a knucklehead for this. And And I'm not about to go on this huge rant about it just yet. I want to gather all the facts. I'm curious to know what exactly happened, what type of situation it was. And I must say this, though. Draymond Green, even being involved in a situation like this, as is perceived right now per MLive.com, I hope that this is a lesson for Draymond Green that, hey, dude, you're not, you know, the kid from Saginaw anymore. You are one of the NBA's best players. You are a man who will be representing the country at the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro this summer. You are a man who's won an NBA title. You are an NBA All-Star now. You have to conduct yourself and hang around people who are going to aid in your moral character no matter where you are, not hinder that character. So, again, I'm going to reserve my thoughts on it because we just don't know anything right now. All we know that is that Draymond Green, it seems as though Draymond Green was arrested for assault this past weekend. We don't know any details. So I'm going to temper my thoughts on it. I don't know if you want to, Isaac, do you have any thoughts right now? It's in the infancy of this story right now, so we really don't know much.
I don't have any more information than you do. And I've been in contact. I've been trying to find out a little bit more, but at the same time, we can't really pass judgment or make any sort of decision on what this guy did without knowing all of the details. So, no, it's not a pretty situation. Just being involved in allegations of any kind don't necessarily put you in a place where, yes, you are actually the perpetrator of the crime, but at the same time, it's not a position you want to be in. This is less than any viable for Draymond Green.
Very, very true. Folks, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's show. He is certainly a dear friend of the show, and man, it is getting down to the nitty-gritty of the Lansing United soccer season. There is just one, yes, just one regular season game left for LU, and I tell you what, it was a big dub, a big win yesterday for the squad as they topped Detroit City FC 3-1 at DeMartin Stadium, home of the Michigan State men's soccer team, the duel at DeMartin, and it went in the favor of Lansing United. This now keeps them in contention for the postseason. To talk about that game and possible postseason implications for that dub is the head coach of LU, Mr. Nate Miller. Nate, first off, how you doing, my friend? Thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on now. Appreciate it.
Nate, I want to go just to look at what took place yesterday because, you know, what a win. What a win for your squad because this keeps you guys in contention for the playoffs now. And the start of it, though, because if you look at the start of this game, 6 fouls in the first 45 minutes, 3 yellow cards, and DC FC outshot you guys 8-4 in the first half. What was going through your head looking at the start of that game?
Well, first of all, yeah, it was a phenomenal win, great performance by the players. Unfortunately, we had a result not go our way that evening with Ann Arbor and Kalamazoo, so we actually were eliminated from playoff contention, so that was disappointing for us. And, you know, a few poor results about a month ago kind of led to this, and so we couldn't control our own destiny. But, yeah, I mean, the match against Detroit, so the first half, it was really interesting to see how the match developed. I mean, they were in a similar position as us. I mean, they had to win. It was an elimination game, and so they really had nothing to lose, and we had to be cautious of that. The game was very physical early on. We wanted to stamp our physicality and kind of our authority on the game. And, you know, the game can ebb and flow, and I kind of had a feeling that they might start out like that. I just wanted to make sure we stayed compact, keep the game at 0-0, and I felt like the last 60 minutes of the game, we'd really hurt them quite a bit, and turned out that's what happened, and our players are really, really good the whole match, I thought.
Wow. So actually, when you do the math now, you guys are eliminated from postseason implications now, right?
Right, yeah. So that's what happened. You know, there's kind of a lot going on in the standings, and if Kalamazoo had beaten Ann Arbor last night, then we would have pretty much just needed a win against Grand Rapids this coming Friday. But that's that's not what happened. And so we have one more match at Grand Rapids, and that'll be it for our season. And obviously, we're disappointed. We've been really hot lately, and we just had a poor spell kind of mid-season that put us in this position. So.
Wow, well, I tell you what, still a great year. And you know, I want to go back to a moment mid-year, Nate, in which you guys went on a 9-game winless streak at the middle of the season. What went wrong? But in that same vein here, you guys were able to get back on track. What went wrong, and how did you retool as the season went on?
Right, right. So we had a few draws that were, you know, every match was just went right up into the end. And, you know, we lost three matches in the league this year. And when you look at those matches, and I've been saying this all year long, the margins are just so thin at this level. I mean, one match away in our at Ann Arbor, we're up 2-0 with 10 minutes to go, and we end up losing 3-2, and that's about as heartbreaking as it gets. And we made quite a bit of mistakes in that game, obviously. And so, you know, things went wrong, but it's not like there was a huge structural problem. It was just very, very small details that make up the margins to winning or losing a match, and we didn't take care of those details. I give a lot of credit to the guys, though. They hung in there. It took some time for us to kind of hit our stride and for the players to really get on the same page with what I was trying to do. And once they did, man, they hung in there. I think it takes a lot of mental strength to come out of a bad spell like that. And then we've been hitting for them, and we've been on fire as of late.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Alec Green for a minute, of course. Holt High School alum and OU midfielder. He scores the opening goal in that 3-1 dub over Detroit City FC. Had to be a pretty emotional moment to score in front of his hometown crowd. What was that like?
Yeah, man, that kid, he's one of my favorites, to be sure. He has a knack for the occasion. You know, he scored the game tying goal when we were away at Detroit, which is a very, very difficult place to play, and we got a draw there. We tied 2-2. The opening goal is beautiful. I actually just finished watching it on film here this morning. It's like a 12-pass combination play up the field, and he's there to tap it in. But, you know, the goal is fantastic. It was a great team goal. But overall, I mean, he covered more space, I can guarantee you that, more than anyone on the field last night. I mean, he put in a huge shift. He is so incredibly fit. He is such a hard worker, humble kid, and really underrated as far as his ability on the ball and ability to make plays. I've been just blown away by his performances this season, and he's just a pleasure to coach every day.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of Lansing United, Mr. Nate Miller. Now, James DeCosmo for you guys, Nate, has been great this season. He actually leads the NPSL Great Lakes West in goals and gave you guys a 2-0 lead during yesterday's match against Detroit City FC. How big has James been?
Huge, yeah. I mean, he's come on in the second half of the season and is just been really clutch in front of net. He's been a leader for us too. He was part of the reason, you know, he was one of the guys that helped dig us out of the hole we were in and get into playoff contention. And now we're sitting at third place and in the league. And yeah, I mean, he's been an important player in training, always getting guys up for it, helping make the changes we need to make. And man, his finishing in the box, he's just been clinical. I give James so much credit.
Nate, what's the demeanor of this team like right now? Because, you know, when looking at how this season, because you guys did rally. It was a turning moment for this team to go and win the last four matches. And again, you still have one more regular season game left. But when you have to, when you put in a scenario where you have to rely on other squads in the division losing instead of going out there and doing your job and letting your win speak for itself to put you in playoff position, is it a message to the team to say that, hey, you guys are the master of your fate? We shouldn't have to rely on a loss to someone else in the division to keep this season rolling. And that's got to be a lesson for this team moving forward into next year.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, we didn't try to dig ourselves in a hole. We don't really think, I mean, in the beginning of the season, middle of the season, we weren't thinking about other teams' results. And so when you get put in that position, yeah, I mean, you don't want to rely on other teams. And even when we were relying on other scores, we weren't talking about it. We weren't that wasn't – you know, we can't control those things. So we were just controlling what we could. We were training very, very hard every day. The guys, their personality started to really come out in the second half of the season. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think it was my first year, and I think my style of play is quite a bit different than maybe some of the guys are used to. And so it took some time. And I've said this many times, the NPL season is a sprint. It's just the summer, and we don't have a preseason, and that's tough. And I think that I put a lot of that blame on myself. You know, all the blame on it. I think that next year I'll be able to get the guys to a place where we're peaking earlier, and I think that's really important. And then we'd be here if we had hit our stride a week earlier this year. Right now, me and you would be talking now about how Grand Rapids is to take the title home. And so it really was just some small things of this one week in June that really hurt us. And if we had taken care of that, we'd be sitting here full steam ahead, ready to win the league. But, you know, it's hindsight. No one cares about that. And, yeah, I think I'll take some lessons. I'll kind of retool the roster a little bit, bring back a lot of familiar faces to keep the continuity, and it should be exciting. But right now we want to finish the season just with the bang. Our supporters deserve that. Our players are really feeling it. We're in a good vein of form, and it's a really fun environment in Grand Rapids, and we hope to take down the league leaders this weekend.
Well, Nate, I tell you what, I think you're being a bit too hard on yourself. I think you did a great job in your first year. Again, you still have one more game left here, so I'm not trying to escalate the season to end right now, but you've done a great job in your first year, Nate. But I want to ask you, and you kind of alluded to it in that answer right there, but how would you grade your first year with this team?
Maybe a C. You know, I think that I just have high aspirations, high goals, I think this team has a big ceiling. I just appreciate so much Jeremy Sampson, the club, the supporters for welcoming me in. And, you know, we've had some bad luck go our way. We've literally never had a full roster to pick from as far as injuries went this year. But I just look at maybe some of the, you know, two specific matches that got away from us. And I just thought we could have been better. I could have been better. And so I think that, I'd give it a C. I think next year, I think we can – with an off season and some time to prepare and me having a lot better understanding of what this league is like and kind of everything, I think we can make some real noise.
You guys have gone on to win the last four matches now, Nate. Any coaching changes in that time span?
We've done some tweaks for sure. Some personnel things as well, as guys have been competing in training, and we've gotten guys back from injuries, which has been huge. But I think the biggest thing is, we've stayed consistent. We've focused on the process and not been too frustrated by some results. And the players have come along, and now they're playing fast. They're not overthinking things. They're playing fast. They're playing instinctively. They really believe. They love playing together. I think it's really cool to see a team that's only been around each other for a few months. They really love playing together. I think that's important. So, you know, sometimes it's just a small degree shift that puts you right on point. You know, you're not far away sometimes, but to be a winning team at this level, it's very small degrees, and you just got to steer the ship right there. And when you have tough players who want to play for the front of the shirt, things come together.
Certainly. Before we get you out of here, Nate, as you guys retool for next year, I mean, how does this process work in the offseason? Who do you know right away who's coming back for your team?
No, not at all. It's a process. You know, like these guys go back to their college teams, obviously, and there's a pretty lengthy off season, and there's a lot of communication with coaches. And you know, I'll be certainly wanting a core group of these guys to come back. I mean, they're important for this process the past month. And yeah, I mean, no, we won't know. I mean, there'll be some conversations with me and guys that I really want to return, and that'll be kind of an ongoing thing for a long time. But that kind of stuff starts happening after the turn of the year, some more January, February. Those types of things start happening, and that's when the supporters start to get excited again and everything. But it kind of depends on the player too, but it's a process you kind of need to put on hold a little bit, and then I'll be getting aggressive with it as the time comes.
All right, and speaking of support, how about the Lansing United fans this year, Nate? You guys had a crowd of 1,557 people at the duel at DeMartin yesterday. How cool has that been to see throughout the year?
Yeah, that's great for the players. I think, you know, our league is a Great Lakes West here in Michigan. It's unbelievable the support you get when you go to each team. And, yeah, I love our supporters. I think we have a great product we put out in the field. I think it's fun to be at match day. I think Jeremy and his staff do a great job. The Sons of Ransom are, man, they're incredible. They love the team. Our players really connect with them, and they make it fun. And at the end of the day, that's what we want to win, but we also want to do it in a way that's honorable to our supporters, and they've been really fun to be around to on match day, and it's great. I encourage, if you haven't been to a Land U match, you got to come out. I think you get hooked once you come.
That is certainly true. Again, the season finale for Lansing United will take place at 7:45 p.m. on the road in Grand Rapids against Grand Rapids FC this Friday. Nate, great year. We look forward to having you on again soon, my friend.
Great. Thanks a lot, Al. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with weekend winners, as well as talking about the Detroit Tigers losing 3 of 4 heading into the All-Star break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I tell you what, Isaac, because you were at that game yesterday, the duel at the Martin Stadium between Detroit City FC and Lansing United. And, you know, I was looking at an article online, and I thought that they were still in playoff contention coming to that interview with Nate. He shined some light on that subject, and due to an early unfortunate incident that took place last night, they were not able to get in. But I had a whole spiel about how if they needed a loss from AFC and Ann Arbor in its final game, as well as a tie between Detroit City and the Michigan Stars this upcoming week. So this week, even if all that were to happen, Lansing would still need to defeat conference leader Grand Rapids FC on Friday. So I thought that there was still a chance, according to an article that I saw online, but that unfortunately is not the case.
And anytime Ann Arbor and Lansing are in contention for a playoff spot, you know that's a bad omen for East Lansing fans when Ann Arbor ends up winning out. But no, that's just how it crumbles sometimes. That's how the cookie crumbles. And East Lansing, great season, great atmosphere at yesterday's game. And Lansing United, really, this is a team that's got a lot of potential going forward, a lot of young players. And this was not only a revamped coaching staff, but a revamped roster as well. And you know what? Their first year, they really showed up well. So, yeah, you can point to them not making the playoffs as maybe something to improve on. But the first season always might be a little bit rocky. And I wouldn't even say this one was. The vein that they found at the end of the season is something that they can really build off of going forward, and I think this is a promising squad.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, I had to throw that question out to Nate concerning the squad of next year, because you just it's so odd when you talk about the minors, because you just don't know who's coming back for your team. It's an evaluation period where I'm assuming that Nate will sit down with each player and sort of see where that player's head is concerning their soccer careers and how Lansing United will benefit them moving forward, but you just don't know who you're going to have next season. That does tie the hands of Nate a bit, and that's got to be a bit frustrating when you go through that period.
Well, one player that Nate hopefully can rely on is James DeCosmo.
Right.
He brought him up in the interview, and he's been with this team several years now, and his streak at the end of the season was nothing less than phenomenal. So if Nate can stick with him, Andrew Hill, also a local guy who not as that transient because he's out of college and playing for this team for quite a while now. If he can build that foundation, the rest of the pieces will fall into place.
Certainly. All right, well, 5 minutes left here in the show. Before we move on to weekend winners, I want to talk about a weekend loser. Mine, the Detroit Tigers, folks. The Detroit Tigers, they limp into the All-Star break. A much-needed rest, though, for this Detroit Tigers team, because honestly, I think they're getting tired. I have to make that evaluation. Just looking at what took place over the weekend, especially yesterday, a 6-1 loss at the hands of the Toronto Blue Jays to end that 4-game road series. The Tigers look tired right now. They finish the 11-game road trip overall at 6-5. They lost 5 of the last 7 games, folks. It was an ugly finish to that road trip. When it comes to hitting, Ian Kinsler was not great. Miguel Cabrera was dismal, and he's the lone Tiger who will make the American League All-Star team. And Victor Martinez, he wasn't solid at all as well. Ian Kinsler, 1-4 on Sunday. R.A. Dickey had the start for the Blue Jays in that game. He was 3-15 throughout the entire four-game series for Kinsler and 10-41 over the 11-game road trip. 10-41. Dismal, folks. Miguel Cabrera, he was 1-4 on Sunday, 3-16 for the series, 8-36 on the road trip. And Victor Martinez, 0-4 on Sunday, 1-15 for the series, 8-42 on the road trip. So ugly numbers for big bats that normally produce for the Detroit Tigers. Anibal Sanchez, he dropped to 5-10 with the loss on Sunday. He allowed 5 runs on 8 hits over 4 innings. He has allowed 22 runs over 16 and 1/3 innings in his last 4 starts. He has a 6.75 earned run average over 82 and 2/3 innings. Yeah, and has lost his last 7. He went on to say, and I think he summed it up pretty nicely here, quote, probably the worst first half of my career, end quote. You think? All right, 3 minutes left. Weekend winners, here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best.
All right, folks, it's time for Weekend Winners. We close out each and every Monday's Current Sports by looking at the weekend that was in the sporting world and beyond and bringing to you who we thought had the best weekend. Weekend Winners, folks, for me, I've got one. Serena Williams, who I think when it's all said and done, when she is done with that racket and hangs up the tennis shoes, she will go down as not only the greatest women's tennis player to ever do it, but the greatest female athlete of all time. A 7-5, 6-3 victory over Angelique Kerber at Wimbledon. She claimed her 22nd women's tennis Grand Slam title, tying Steffi Graf for the most in the Open era. Serena Williams, I salute you. It was amazing watching that match. Isaac?
One of the most dominant athletes of all time, regardless of, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, race, whatever. One of the greatest, no matter what the sport is. Mine is Portugal. Portugal winning the Euro Championship despite Ronaldo being out. And Ronaldo's the second best player in the world. That's something. So, really impressive. Also, I just want to read you this title of Tim Duncan's college paper. Blowhard Snobs and Narcissists, Interpersonal Reactions to Excessive Egotism. That's a winner.
That's a, you think? You think? All right, folks, salute to Tim Duncan as well. What a career. What a career. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.